So we turn from Psalm 119, which the psalmist says, resolves by the last verse that we just read, that be with God and follow the way of God until the very end, to these words from Matthew 13. I'll have more to say about this, but it's the beginning of a series of lots and lots of parables that Jesus shares with his listeners. And so listen to these words, the first nine verses of the 13th chapter of Matthew. By the Holy Spirit, may they be the living word of God for us this day. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and he sat beside the sea. Such great crowds had gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and then so birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Or as it says up there, if you have ears, hear. And just so you know, whenever you see that in the Bible, and this Jesus uses this phrase a lot, that's a really old-fashioned way of saying, are you really listening? Are you getting this? Do I have your full attention? Right? It's an ancient way of saying something that we do all the time rhetorically. Someone tells us something important, and they say, are you following me? Right? Jesus says, if you really have ears, listen, I want you to pay attention here. Pay close attention right here. So that's Matthew 13, verses 1 through 9, along with Psalm 119 by the Holy Spirit, the Word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. And now, O Lord, may your word indeed be a light to our feet. May it be a lamp to our path, that we, O God, will resolve to take Jesus at his word and to remember, O Lord, that he has called us to be good soil for the bearing of the kingdom of God all around us. Amen. So note the setting here. Jesus is by the seaside, right, in Matthew. And some of y'all have heard me say this before, but whenever Jesus goes to a mountaintop in Matthew or he goes to a body of water, what should we do? Pay attention. Something important is about to happen. It happens every single time. And he goes to the beach there along the Sea of Galilee, up in northern modern-day Israel. And the crowds are so thick that they basically push him off the beach into the water. So he's got to get on a boat in order to teach them. So he's got this massive crowd, a great multitude of people. Such great crowds, Matthew says, came that they forced him into the beach and onto a boat. And so imagine Jesus standing in a boat in very shallow water, preaching to the crowds who are standing on the shoreline. That's the setting that we have here today. And what does Jesus choose to do with this great crowd, with this great teaching opportunity? Does he do a thesis or a treatise on the Ten Commandments? Could have. Right? Does he go and does what he does on the road to Emmaus, and he explains the whole history of Israel with all the prophets and all the laws and precepts and how it all fits in? He could have done that, but he doesn't. No, instead, he tells them this parable and that beautiful piece of art up there, this parable, the parable of the sower. That's where Jesus chooses to begin this moment of his teaching ministry. If you've done much Bible study, you know that there are lots and lots of parables in the Bible. The ones that we focus on the most are found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew today, not so much in John. That's not really one of the emphases in the Gospel of John in the way John tells its story about Jesus. If you went home and Googled parable tonight, the preacher was talking a lot about parables today. I wonder what Google's got to say. It'll say this: it's a short, simple story used to illustrate a moral or spiritual lesson. The word parable comes from the Greek word parabole, meaning to place one thing beside something else, to place everyday situations in order that we might be able to find deeper truth. And then Google says parables help make complex ideas easier to understand and remember. In other words, parables are illustrative stories, stories with deep meaning, using things as their examples, not like rocket science equations that most people don't understand, but instead using everyday things that people would understand. See, Jesus tells parables about yeast and flowers. He tells people about sons and daughters, about travelers and bridesmaids, about sheep and goats. And today, Jesus is teaching a parable about sowing of seed, right? Everybody in the ancient world knew how to sow seeds. If you didn't plant the garden in the spring, you weren't eating the vegetables in the summer or fall. It's simply that easy. It's just that easy, right? It's just that simple. And so here we get these beautiful stories of Jesus throughout Matthew's gospel. And all the time he is taking examples from their daily lives and he's helping them understand deep, meaningful spiritual truths. For Jesus, you see, these parables are not puzzles to be solved. Rather, they are metaphors and lessons to be applied to our lives here and now. It wasn't just for the crowd that had pushed Jesus into the water. It's also for us. Just so you know, Matthew 13, this parable of the sower, Matthew 13 is the kickoff. The rest of the game in Matthew is almost all parables throughout chapter 13. If you go and read chapter 13, it's just one parable after the other. And just to note, if you're wondering, is the parable of the sower also found in Mark and Luke? It is. It's found in all three of what we call the synoptic gospels, which means that the parable is shared three times independently. That means this parable is three times important, right? Our writers of the Bible, Jesus really wanted us to hear this parable. They really wanted us to read it and to consider what it meant for us. So, obviously, this parable is all about sowing and planting. And what happens to a seed which gets sowed and spread on bad soil and good soil or on no soil at all? The first point to note today, I think, is that Jesus, when he told this parable over 2,000 years ago, was speaking in hyperbole. He was being over the top here. Now, there are many parables in Matthew 13, like I said. In fact, there's so many that for the next several weeks in worship, we're going to be in Matthew 13. And this is not the last parable you're going to hear if you come to worship over the next couple of weeks with us. Right? We've got weeks of parables to unpack. And this parable, the sower comes at us, I'll get back to the hyperbole in a second, to make us ask one question of ourselves and one only. What kind of soil will we be? What kind of soil are we? Are we good soil for the kingdom of God to grow? Or are we poor soil for the kingdom of God to grow? Now, back to the hyperbole. This is why it's hyperbole. No sower, no farmer worth anything would just go out and throw their seed away all over the place. You just don't do that, right? Again, ancient world, if you didn't have your seeds, your family would starve. They were one of the most valuable things that you could possibly have. While I'm sitting here talking, I think there's actually a world seed bank, isn't there? It's like it's in the icebergs of Norway. Just in case everything stops working, the nations of the world, the UN, they're that valuable. They're that valuable, right? And here we've got this, for the minute Jesus said, a sower went out to his fields to sow some seeds, and he threw some on the pathway. Somebody would have started laughing. So that crowd, they all knew that you don't put seed on the road. It's going to get trampled or it's going to get eaten, right? Also, rocky soil, thorny soil. Like, who doesn't weed their garden before you go planting? I'm not much of a gardener at all, but even I know that much. And so what Jesus is saying is that the kingdom of God is going to be spread around indiscriminately, all sorts of places. The difference is between bearing no fruit and bearing fruit 100, 60, or 30-fold is the quality of the soil. Anybody that's ever farmed much knows that you have to till the ground. You have to break up the lumps. You've got to remove the rocks if you're going to expect to have anything to grow. Will we be good soil? Will we let the kingdom of God, justice, righteousness, love of neighbor, will we let that grow in our hearts and in our lives? Will we be good soil where the kingdom of God's love and God's fairness and God's kindness can grow? That's what Jesus was asking them 2,000 years ago, and I think that's what he's asking us today. Now, you need to know that I have thought a lot about the parable of the sower in my life, at least since I was 14 years old. And the reason why is that my grandmother Ruby Harlan, moved in with my family when I was 2 years old. And she lived with us. She was basically my daycare. There wasn't a whole lot of daycare in 1970s Louisiana. Okay, so my grandmother sold her house and moved in with us. And she's one of the most influential people in my entire life. Well, she passed away. She died when I was 13. But one of the things that she treasured the most was that someone had brought her back an olive wood carving statue from the Holy Land on one of their Holy Land trips. She never herself got to go, but she loved this beautiful, I think it's about 10 or 12 inches high, statue. And it's the parable of the sower. It kind of looks like that guy. He's got a bucket. His hand's not out throwing, but his hand's reaching back into the basket to grab more seed. And so that statue is still in my mother's home, right, to this day. And I've thought a lot about it since I was 14, but I'm not necessarily proud of the reason. As one does when you're 14 and you have a 7-year-old sister, you might like to throw things at her. And as one does in Louisiana, you do this inside in July because you don't go outside in July in Louisiana. It's just not something you do. People always ask me, what's the best time of year to go to New Orleans? And I'll say, don't go between June 1st and September 1st, and you'll do just fine. You'll enjoy it. You'll love it, okay? So, of course, as one does, I threw the ball a little too hard, missed her, hit the statue, which knocked it off its pedestal, and it fell to the floor where the bottom split, the base, the round base, the disc split into two. So, being the young man that I was, I quickly ran and found super glue, rubber cement, and painter's tape, and I taped the base back together like nothing had ever happened. And I set it back there, and no one ever asked a question for about 40 years. And 40 or so years later, 35 or so, my mom found out the truth, right? She did. Here's the point. Here's the point. Even though it's still standing today in my mom's house, and even though we've repaired it several times, one day it ultimately will fall. It will topple over as all sort of earthly things do and will. But the basis of it, this parable of the sower, this man reaching in the basket, the story of the sower that went out and threw around the seed of the kingdom of God indiscriminately over all things, that story somewhere 100 years from now, that parable of the sower will still be being preached somewhere in this city, this state, this region, this country, this world. These parables of Jesus, you see, they basically transcend time and space, and they give us moral and theological lessons beyond what we easily know, pointing us to the greater, deeper, most eternal truths that God has to offer. And insofar as they give us insights into God's way, which is usually not our way, they become invaluable sources of faith and wisdom for all of us. Yes, these parables are that important. Sometimes people wonder, what was the main work of Jesus? What was his main purpose in coming into our world? Yes, it was to be a savior. Yes, it was to give life. Yes, it was to come out of the tomb and beat the grave. Yes, it was to give us hope for heaven, those of us that follow him. Yes, it was to teach us these eternal truths. For as the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. But the parables are just about as important because they teach us how to live here and now. They show us exactly how to love our neighbors, how to care for each other, and how to believe in the wonder and awe that God wants us to see and know, how to believe in the righteousness and the wisdom of the kingdom of God, and how it can transcend our greatest dreams. The Presbyterian pastor and writer Eugene Peterson spent most of his lifetime translating the Bible into a version in his own language. And you need to know that if you keep reading in Matthew past where I read today, there's a section called The Parable of the Sower Explained. And around chapter 13, verse 23, this is what Peterson says that Jesus says. He says, "The seed cast on good earth is the person who hears and takes in the good news and then produces a harvest beyond his wildest dreams." The seed cast on the good earth is the person who hears and takes in the good news and then produces a harvest beyond his wildest dreams. Yeah, a harvest beyond our wildest dreams. That's what the Lord is after. That's what he's trying to get us to do. When we wake up each and every day, when we think about our life here at church or in our houses or in our families, in our communities, in our schools, in our cities, state, nation, are we trying to be the good soil where God's love and God's righteousness can produce a hundredfold? And then again, that's what Jesus wants to know. Are we going to be good soil or not? Will we receive his vision of the kingdom? A kingdom where fairness, justice, brotherhood, sisterhood rule over all things. Is that what we want? Aren't you ready for that? Aren't you tired of just one more horrible headline where somebody that we know knows better is hurting somebody else? I am. I'm going to pray for that world every day. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I'm doing it today with you all. After we take communion together. That's what I think Jesus is after here. A people in a church where good soil is cultivated, that kind of life and those kind of promises can grow. And Jesus speaks in parables like this all the time. Some of the most precious things in the Bible, the Good Samaritan, the prodigal son, the bridesmaids with their lamps lit, the sheep and the goats of Matthew 25, all of these stories and illustrations are given to us by Jesus. To challenge the status quo of our thinking and make us believe that if we could do the things that Jesus has actually asked us to do and invest our lives, our power, our influence, yes, even our money into godly causes, we truly could begin to see the world begin to change around us. Sometimes when I say godly causes, somebody say, well, what exactly is a godly cause? You know it when you see it. If it looks like one, it is one. And here's the thing. I just have to wonder what could happen if people in our country, in our world, cared as much about godly causes as so many do about memberships and season tickets and exclusive experiences. I really wonder what would happen. Friends, we know that people love stories. I'll tell you, in my family, we're a family of storytellers. I never met my mother's father, really. He died when I was very young, but he supposedly was a storyteller. And my mom, if she's watching right now, will say that I always remind her of him when I'm in this pulpit. All these distant aunts and uncles, they would show up for family holidays, and they told stories about great-grandparents and people that I never heard of. My grandmother that lived with me that had the olive-carved wood statue used to take me visiting. Anybody here have to go visiting? 8-year-old little boy with a blue blazer and like Buck Oxford shoes on, sweating in Aunt Mamie's house or something like that, just wanting to go outside and play so bad. But there I was visiting. And in all those visits, right, there were stories that make you laugh. And if you listen closely enough in those stories, much like parables, there are great bits of wisdom to be found in them all. Why do we do that? Why does Jesus speak in parables? Because stories are what we remember. We remember them so much better than facts and figures. We remember them so much better than equations. Are the facts and figures and equations important? Yes. But what we remember more than anything else in our life is stories. Right? Maybe music. Maybe songs. Songs might challenge stories. I mean, there's a reason why everyone in here, except for the youngest baby back there. Who's the youngest back there, Ian? Piper? Piper might know, but there's a reason why all of us can sing ABCs to the tune of Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. There's a reason that stays with you your whole life. We simply don't forget such things. Stories and songs are like that. Do you know the book of Psalms? Most of the Psalms that we have, the 150, were meant to be sung. And they wrote them to music. And some of them even have musical instructions in them so that people would remember them and be able to sing them when they were walking or when they were with their families, not just when they were in church, temple, synagogue, whatever it was they went. So yeah, we remember songs, we remember stories. That's why people have such strong opinions about the music that we sing up here each and every week. Because some of them are sacred to us, and some of those songs become part of our stories. See, they were parables because Jesus knew that we would remember them. And some of them repeat themselves, like this one in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Here it is. We can read it in any of the places, and the message will be the same. Right? Will we be good soil here in this church? Will we be good soil out there in God's glorious creation? Will we be good soil whenever we have opportunity to bear some fruit for the sake of God's kingdom? That's what Jesus wants us to hear today, and that's what he wants to learn. And therein is the lesson, and there is the challenge. Asking ourselves, are we doing our best to be willing and fertile ground for the kingdom of God to grow? Friends, it starts with us, with all the people around the world who might be hearing this parable today. It really is up to you and me. And I pray that God gives us the wisdom and the strength to do our part and bear some of that good fruit. Amen. Amen.
So friends, let us go out into this world that is in deep, deep need of us and our many gifts. Let us go out being that fertile soil for the kingdom of God to flourish. And as we do, may we create this fertile soil by living by the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. May we live by the Spirit, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.